and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 225. I love the multiples of five episodes, which come, of course, every fifth episode, so it makes me a really happy camper. A lot of the time, I'm standing on my back porch. It's a little chilly. It is Wednesday, April 18th, I'm thinking. Around there. You don't care. I don't care. Will history care? Probably not. Anyway, this episode is sort of the pretty much finished, kind of getting started episode. So, for instance, I'm pretty much finished with Sweep Exit, but there are a few places in the quilting, there are a few repairs that need to be made, just very tiny, but I don't feel like it's done, you know, done. I like saying that. That's fun. Done. And I have not finished quilting Sweep Exit. Quick edit. I'm at Melon Patch. No surprise there. I did finish a quilt top for a charity quilt, so almost finished, right? But I still have to, quilt it. And I have started on some blocks that will be a quilt, a Stars Upon Stars quilt. And it's interesting to me in the same way that doing the first block for the Adita Sitar block along that I'm doing a terrible job with, not because of skills, but because of falling behind. I think I'm two blocks behind now. No real surprise there. But I'm going to Kentucky next week, and I was thinking I might bring some of my fabric with me. I'm doing this with my mom, and so that might be something I actually work on while I'm there. My mom can help me if I get confused, which I do so often. In any event, the block that I'm working on right now, or the series of blocks, the name is, I believe, Broken Star. And like the Adita Sitar block, the first block, it has lots of pieces. Although, okay, so what I'm doing is I'm using the Jenny Beyer block book, which comes with, and I think I talk about this in the quilt diaries, with an overlay, with a transparent overlay with different grids. And this is an 8x8 grid, so you put your transparent overlay on the picture of the block, which is not very big. I mean, it's maybe an inch square. So you put the overlay on it, and then you can see how the block is constructed. It's the most useful thing in the world. In any event, what I realized after sort of breaking down the block, the Broken Star block, isn't that a great name? I hope that's really the name and I'm not just making that up. It doesn't matter because you know what? People change block names all the time. Blocks have multiple names. Traditional blocks do. So I broke it down into half square triangles and squares. And what I realized after I was putting the first one together last night, of course, is a lot of the half square units could really be flying geese. And so when I do the next one, I will do flying geese units. But that's okay. That's how I learn. Backwards. I learn backwards. I always have. I always will. I accept that. So I really am enjoying this. I'm kind of coming into a traditional quilt phase, I feel like. I talk about this too. I shouldn't like blow all my material up front, but I do talk about at the very end, I think, about a connection I'm kind of playing around with between modern quilts and old traditional quilts as opposed to contemporary traditional quilts. But I just kind of right now am digging doing this piecing. Even though I'm still not great at it, I am better at it, and it's kind of neat. And I think it's really good for my brain. You know, to be figuring out looking at a picture of a block, how do you put it together? So anyway, I talk about all of this. I don't know why I'm talking about it now, but just to say hello, this is what you have in store. Lots of chatter from me. And I guess we should get on with it. So let's do this. Let's do the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Thursday, March 29th. I want to read you a little bit from a story from the Austin Daily Herald. And I believe this is Austin, Minnesota, not Austin, Texas. So the headline is, "With Dignity, Quilts Help Usher Those Who Pass with Dignified Draping." And the author of the piece is Deb Nickley. And it was posted March 5th, actually 2017. So I don't know why this came up in my quilt feed. I have a Google notification thing, and just and so every day I get a couple mailings with notifications of articles. In any event, Anu Thawani, a registered nurse at Sacred Heart Healthcare Center in Austin, thought her flight to San Diego at Christmas would be uneventful, but as it turned out, it was a lot more than that. Sitting next to her was Carol Hanka of Eagan, Minnesota, and it wasn't long before the two were chatting. Soon Hanka was speaking of her love of quilting, and that prompted Thawani to tell her about Sacred Heart, where she worked. When a resident passed at Sacred Heart, the body was placed on a gurney as staff waited for a funeral home to transport the remains. The staff would regularly place a quilt on the body to cover the remains and at the same time provide a dignified covering. The quilt regularly used was one that had been provided a long time ago and its age was showing, Thawani said. Although the intention was good, many washings had taken their toll on the once beautiful piece. And as the story goes on, and this shouldn't become a surprise, the quilter in question said, "I'll make a quilt to replace the one that's old and worn." I have never heard of a thing called a dignity quilt, but apparently it's a thing. And if you Google it, all kinds of groups make these quilts, and they're used in a number of different situations. And I posted something on the Twilters group on Facebook about this, and someone posted a response that yes, when her father was in the funeral home and she came in to help arrange the funeral plans, he was covered in a quilt. And what an amazing thing. What a beautiful, amazing thing. And I love hearing about stuff I've never heard about. And these kind of what would be, I think, the folklorist in me would say is a folk way, a folk custom. That's beautiful. And it makes me love quilters even more than I already did. I just think such a lovely idea. And yes, and particularly given institutions, you know, and we've all spent time in nursing homes and hospitals and perhaps hospitals more than any other kind of institution where a quilt would be needed. Although I think quilts should be everywhere. I can't remember if I talked about a couple summers ago, I went to Orlando for the American Library Association summer meeting, the annual meeting. And of course, you know, to save money, these meetings, there's a winter meeting and a summer meeting. The winter meeting is always like someplace like Chicago or Minneapolis, and the summer meeting's New Orleans, Orlando, because no one wants to be in New Orleans in June. But there we were in Orlando, end of the month, hot and humid, but we were at the convention center there. And, you know, and it's so weird. I mean, one, it's Orlando, so that's kind of got, you know, so it's Disney and whatever, but you know, convention centers are, I find, dehumanizing. They're huge. There's nothing personal about them. The grounds of this convention center in Orlando were beautifully maintained. And it was all very well done and very thoughtfully planned out, but it still just, there was something kind of anonymous about them. And I really felt like this place needs quilts. Right, there should be just quilts folded up everywhere, quilts on the wall, you know, to make it human, right? Because there's just something, I mean, airports need quilts. Just all these places where you would just feel more human if there was a quilt nearby. But but what this amazing idea of, apparently there are hospitals that use dignity quilts. And, you know, you have a body on a gurney as it's being awaiting transport and covered with a quilt. Such a beautiful idea. I love it so much. I love it so much. So anyway, that's the main reason I got on, because I want to share that with you. I wanted to not forget it. I'm going to look for some more articles and try to remember to put links into the show notes. So the only other thing I have to tell you, so I finally got Melon Patch basted. I started quilting it last night. And I like the quilting very much. I'm just doing, you know, I'm just doing curved quilting using my walking foot, but just following the curve of the petals. I guess I'm going to need to, and I don't really want to do this, also quilt outside of the petals. And I don't want to because it's going to be a pain and it's going to take forever. And I got to tell you, I'm not burying threads. I just am at this place where I might, who knows? I could submit this to QuiltCon or a quilt show, QuiltCon and for modern traditional or just a quilt show. It's a cool quilt. I really like it. I just don't care anymore. I only have, you know, I'm almost 54. So, you know, I only have 50, 60 more years to live. Let's face it. Life may be too short to bury threads. I mean, I'm starting with a little teeny tiny stitch starting out. And, you know, and yeah. But that's. So anyway, so which means because I'm not burying threads and doing that whole mess, the quilting is going much faster and is much funner. So, yeah, so I like how it looks. I have this crazy idea. I'm going to finish this, quilting this before I go to Knoxville on Tuesday. It's Thursday now. It's possible because it's going really quickly. But I've also made a decision. When I go to Knoxville for this, for the guild meeting there, I'm going to read from Birds in the Air and I'm going to show the Birds in the Air quilts plus other quilts as well. I have the original Birds in the Air quilt, the quilt that is based on the one that Emma in Birds in the Air finds in her attic. It's a Civil War era quilt. I hand pieced most of it. I certainly hand pieced all the blocks and I hand pieced a lot. I did, you know, then did the chunking of the blocks. And I feel like I hand pieced 3/4 of the top together. And then I was running out of time. So I just put that baby on the machine and finished up. And then my idea is I was going to hand quilt it. I kind of decided at this point, it's really time. It's really time just to put that sucker on the machine and just do a really, just a diagonal quilt, just a straight line quilting. Love the straight line quilting. Nothing too fancy. And and be done with it and put on the binding. And my hope is I can do both the before Tuesday. That may be a bit much. I will focus first on finishing the Birds in the Air quilt, the traditional Birds in the Air quilt, since the melon patch would be fun to say yes. And for my next book, here's the first quilt, finished quilt for Stars Upon Stars. Next up in my quilting life is quilting the Stars Upon Stars quilt that is still hanging there on my wall, behind the design wall. It's tacked up on a different piece of flannel. Anyway, so I'm in the throes of quilting. I'm still upset with all of you for not reminding me to use a dark batting when quilting a quilt, making a quilt that has so much black. I am just really, really irritated with all of you. You were supposed, it was your job. You had one job, and it was to remind me when you're quilting a quilt that's half black or all black or 3/4, whatever, use the dark batting. Did I say binding before batting? I don't know, but I meant batting. Dark batting, yeah. Anyway, all right, I actually have lots of work to do, but I just didn't want to forget to mention the Dignity quilts because, like I said, new to me and just mind-blowing to me. Just such an amazing idea. All right, talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is, what is it? It's Sunday, April 8th, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The man has just taken Will to get his hair cut. Our stylist and the man, I, and Will all go to the same stylist, the wonderful Miss Brooke. She actually is coming in today to cut Will's hair because he can't really get his hair cut right now on weekdays because of baseball. And she's going to be gone the next 2 Saturdays in a row. So she said, I'm going to make him an appointment on Sunday. And so the man has taken Will to get his hair cut, which is really nice because I have a guild meeting here in a little bit. It's at 3. I have to leave about 2:30. It takes me just under 30 minutes to get there. So this is the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild. And so him taking Will to get his hair cut means that I don't have to be on the road all afternoon. And it's giving me a little time just to straighten up around here, my sewing area. At its base is organized and good, which means that cleaning it up isn't such a big deal. On top, a lot of clutter and a lot of mess. But I've just, you know, been refolding fabric and putting scraps in my scrap bag. Will I ever organize that? I so sincerely doubt it. But I am thinking about doing some charity quilts. I need to talk with my fellow board members at the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, since I am vice president. I am on that board.
I think we have some charity quilt projects going, but it feels a little undefined to me. I'm not quite sure who's in charge of that. And I was just thinking moments ago, I've got all these scraps, and I think it would be really fun just to start cutting out squares and making tops for charity quilts. Easiest thing in the world. Can do it as I'm working on other projects as well. And I just want to focus my energy more there. And part of this has to do with stuff I've been thinking about in terms of quilts and meaning. And I'm going to try to get back to that topic here in a second. I do want to update you just on what I've been up to recently. So what I did yesterday is I made a modern fox and geese block. This is for my guild meeting today. We are doing monthly challenges, and this month's challenge was to modernize a traditional block. So I got out my book, my Jenny Beyer block book. I'll walk over here so I can tell you the exact title: The Quilter's Album of Patchwork Patterns. You know, there are two, I think, pretty definitive books about blocks and patchwork. One is Barbara Brackman's, which is out of print, although you can get it from her website. You can download it, so you can get the e-version. I haven't really searched around for a while to see if I, you know, for a used copy. Although if I'm in a used bookstore, I'll go to the craft section just in case someone might have sold it to the used bookstore. But so far I haven't found it. But I have to say this one, The Quilter's Album of Patchwork Patterns, More Than 4,050 Piece Blocks for Quilters by Jenny Beyer, is pretty dang good. Now, the thing about Barbara Brackman's is she's got a numbered system, and I don't know if Beyer uses it as well, that I think quilt historians, that's what they use. They use her index. So that would make it a good thing to have, since I am interested in quilt history. But one of the things I have to tell you, I've had this book for a while now. About a month ago, I was looking at it, looking for Stars Upon Stars blocks and variations, and I realized that in the inside back cover, there's this nice little, there's an insert, and the insert that holds, I don't think you would call that, let's not worry about it. What I found were two transparency grid sheets that I did not know were there. Now, if you could see this book, and who knows, maybe I'll make a picture, the end paper is beautiful, and it's like this kind of a paisley print. And I think you could see why I might actually have missed these transparencies, which are, by the way, transparent. But it's really cool. So they have grids, starting with a 2x2 base grid and moving up to a 27x27 base grid. And also an 8-pointed star grid, a hexagon grid, all kinds. It's really neat. And what you can do is, say you're looking at, a Lady of the Lake block, and you can take your grid and break it up. And the book is broken up into also different grid bases. So that's a 5x5. So you take your 5x5 base grid and you put it over, and then you can see how the block is put together. You can see it's like, okay, so that the different units, the half square triangles, the patches, whatever. You know, mostly a lot of the stuff obviously is half square triangle. But anyway, so I didn't know that, and it's really fun to do. So here's another one. It is number 10, is an Oddfellows block. Now it's a 10x10 grid. So again, I just take my 10x10 grid transparency sheet, or transparency grid sheet, sorry, put it over, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I see how that works. I see all the parts. I see how to make that block, which is really cool. So when it came time to pick a block to modernize, of course, I just went through Jenny's book. Actually, I lie. That is not exactly what I did. I Googled
traditional blocks and just looked at the images. And that's what I did. And then I saw the geese and fox, which is just flying geese units chasing each other around. It's a little different from wild goose chase, because they don't, in wild goose chase, the geese units chase each other either clockwise or counterclockwise, but they all appear as though they're chasing each other. With this block, with fox and geese, the flying geese units on the left and right side are both up, going up, and the flying geese units on the top and bottom, one is going to the left and one is going to the right. So it's a little bit different. You can just get lost in this stuff. Anyway, I will put a picture on the show notes of my block, but I really like it. I think it came out very cool. I just did wonky, and I did the simplest version. So the inside square that the fox and geese are chasing around, I just used a black square. So you could also, there are other versions which that inside square is actually made up of four squares, two of each color. But I just had enough color stuff going on as it was. So that was a really fun project. That was my big project yesterday. I also had my writing workshop that I do every Saturday. I was also really tired. I went to Knoxville, Tennessee on Tuesday. I drove up Tuesday. It's just a five and a half hour drive from here. And it's a beautiful drive. You drive to Asheville, North Carolina, and then over the mountains into Tennessee. But that part from Asheville into Knoxville, you get into some pretty, it's all highway. It's all 40 West, but it feels like really narrow. And there are like 500 trucks going down these very curvy, windy mountain roads. And I was so happy that the weather was good, because I think if it had been raining, it would have just been, it's a little bit tense. You know, I drive through the mountains quite a bit to get to where my parents live in Kentucky, but that's driving across West Virginia. And those mountain roads are, when they get really curvy, there's always a third lane for the trucks to go over. And the roads crossing from Asheville to Knoxville, Tennessee, it's just two lanes. And, you know, so you either have to go like 40 miles, because the trucks were all very well behaved, but you either do 40 miles and then it just takes you forever, or you have to get out in the left-hand lane and then you're doing 60, and that feels really fast, but otherwise you have cars piled up behind you. And so it's a little tense, it's a little stressful. But on Tuesday night, I did a trunk show at the Knoxville Guild, the Smoky Mountain Quilters. Fabulous guild, fabulous group of people. They even have famous quilters like Linda Roy, who does amazing quilts. It's like, you know, Houston and Paducah, oh, best of show person. I don't know about Houston. I think maybe Paducah. But, you know, as nice as she could be. I met Mary Kay Waldvogel, who is a quilt historian. And it's interesting. I don't think she makes a ton of quilts. She does a little bit, but not a ton. She's more just really into quilts. And so she's awesome. She goes to the Modern Quilt Guild. Knoxville has a Modern Quilt Guild as well. And she was delightful. I had a great time talking to her. She did an interview. I talked about this in the last episode for the Story Bee, the program that the Quilt Alliance is doing, where she wanted to interview Emily Bodie, who's making the menswear out of old quilts. And so, you know, when I met her, I chatted with her and we talked about that. And we also talked about a quilter, a textile artist, I think is a better way to say that. And I can't remember if I've linked to her or not, but this woman named Amy Meisner, who's in Alaska, who I found out about through SAQUA, Studio Arts Quilt Alliance, association, which I follow on Facebook, and someday I will join just to get the journal, because it's a good journal and you can get all these back issues online. I mean, you can read them online. You don't have to be a member, and there's lots and lots of good stuff in there. But she does all kinds of different sort of projects, has done some amazing quilts, but also has had I think she's not doing it anymore, collecting things, but she asked people to send kind of old embroidery and lace and handwork and textiles, quilts, whatever, handmade, homemade, for her to use in art projects. And the stuff she's making out of this is just amazing. So Mary Kay was familiar with her. And in fact, we were talking about sort of the connection between what Emily Bode's doing and what Amy Meisner's doing. So, and in fact, Mary Kay said she was going to write about that for the Quilt Alliance blog. So if she does, I will definitely link to that because I think that's super interesting. So I did my trunk show. I sold books, very nice, and it was well received. Had a great time with the guild president, a woman named Lynn Sykes. She's the one who invited me. She had read Birds in the Air and really liked it. And as president, she, you know, gets to do some of the things she wants to do. So she wanted me to come to Knoxville. And so she invited me. And this was about a year ago that she asked me to come. And then, but we went out to dinner with her wonderful sister, and they were both just delightful and funny, and we had a great talk. One of the most interesting things, my whole thing when I do my trunk show, which I've only done a few times, is I talk a lot about community, and I'm starting to talk more about storytelling and quilts and stories. So that's, you know, that's my, now that, you know, I'm on the board of the Quilt Alliance, and but I've been thinking a lot about that, and so I talked a lot about stories, and obviously, quilts and stories are kind of my life. I've got my family, I've got Travis the quilt dog who's sitting right here with me. I write stories and I make quilts and I think about quilts and I think about stories, and you know, and I teach writing, and I won't ever teach quilting, but. This is it. This is like, here I am at midlife, and this is kind of like, yeah, these are my things, you know? So so I talked a lot about that, and I did a big push for the Quilt Alliance at the end of my talk, and I talked with Lynn, the president, about getting Amy Milne, who's the executive director of the Quilt Alliance, to come do Quilt Alliance Roadshow. And this is where she goes to a guild and she'll do a big presentation about the Quilt Alliance and about documenting quilts and doing quilt stories. And then the next day she does videos. She does these go tell your quilt story kind of videos. And she did this last week when I was in Knoxville. She was in Wisconsin at a big guild. So she, on Tuesday, she did her presentation. On Wednesday, she did 50 of these Go Tell It videos. So I can't wait to watch these and hear people's quilt stories. And I think Lynn is going to get Amy to come do that at the Knoxville Quilt Guild, which I think she should for all kinds of reasons. One of the interesting things about the Smoky Mountain quilters, they have like 5 or 6 men, which is a lot. You know, in our modern quilt guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, I don't know how many men are members. Every once in a while, there'll be a guy at the meeting, you know, but it's 99% women. Quilting is 99% women. So 5 or 6 men in one guild is, you know, a pretty significant number. And in fact, the men have their own men's group, like a subgroup where they get together and quilt like guys, you know, and spit. I don't know what they're doing, but, I met one of the men. He was a young man. His name is Andrew. And he is a vet from the most recent Iraq war. And he's started quilting 2 years ago. He was telling me, he came up afterwards, like, well, if you're so interested in stories, let me tell you the story. So his wife, it was because his wife, she said, I want us to have something, a hobby to do together. So they decided to explore quilting. And it didn't stick as much with her. She's making more clothes. She's gotten more into garment sewing. But it stuck with Andrew. And so he does a ton of quilts. He has post-traumatic stress, which he's very open about, and says that the quilting helps him. He does a ton of Quilt of Valor quilts. He has made quilts. He was in a truck explosion. He was in a truck in Iraq. And I don't know if if it got hit by a missile or they ran over a mine or how it happened, but he was in this explosion. He seems, I know he's got the post-traumatic stress. If he were outwardly injured, I did not see it. There were 4 or 5 other guys. Everyone survived it, or at least there's a group of 5 that survived it. He didn't say if anyone had died in that. He has, I think, made quilts for all of these guys, and he showed me on his phone a video. So it was a Quilts of Valor presentation, giving quilts to soldiers. And this guy who was in the truck with him when it exploded, was getting a quilt. And then it was, and you watch him, and there's a beautiful quilt. And then he's told that Andrew is the one who made the quilt. And you watch this man's face. I mean, I'm tearing up just talking about it. It was so amazing. I mean, he started crying. But you watch, you know, you can tell he's pleased to be getting this quilt. And, you know, before he knows who made it, he's pleased to be getting it. And, you know, he's smiling. And then he's told that Andrew made it for him. And first there's this look of shock. And then you just watch the transformation of this man's face. And it's just the most beautiful thing. You know, so anyway, this guy, Andrew, is amazing. And he showed that they had a challenge for show and tell challenge to bring what you're working on, like what's on your machine. And he brought a couple things. And one was a Quilt of Valor top. And the other was this, he's making a king size quilt out of 1-inch squares. And he's using Moda Grunge. And he had maybe like a length of fab of quilt top that was maybe 2 feet long and 1 foot wide. And that's probably even bigger. This probably wasn't even that big. And it was super cool looking, you know. So anyway, so there are just stories like that everywhere. So I think that I really hope that Amy Milne goes and does that. If you are in a guild and are interested in doing that, I mean, it does cost money. I don't know how much. But let me know, and I'll put Amy in touch with you, because I just think it's just, I don't know. I think these stories are really important. And on Friday, after I got back from Knoxville, so Tuesday night I did that. Wednesday morning I got up and I did a school visit. I had gotten, I contacted a couple schools about, I'm saying, I'm going to be in the area. I'll give you a good price on this. If you know, and I'll come do a couple talks with your students. And so the first one who got back to me, I was like, all right, you're my girl. And so I got up Wednesday morning and went to West Hill Elementary in Knoxville. Darling school, amazing librarian. Turns out she went to high school with one of my best friends from college, someone who's still a good friend of mine to this day. So that was kind of fun to make that connection. And the students were great, and it was very fun. We had a good time. And then I got back on the road and came home. And by the time I was home, I'm just like, I'm so tired. And I don't feel like I'm quite over it, but partly because it's just, you know, Thursday I had to take Will to the dentist, and then Will had a baseball game. And Friday I did an interview for Storybee. This week I interviewed Maren Hansen, who is the curator for the international exhibits at the International Quilt Study Center. And that was so interesting. I need to put up a link. I know I've talked about the International Quilt Study Center before. It's in Nebraska. It's connected to University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and I think Lincoln. And it's on my bucket list. I want to go there so badly. Right now, that's where the Ken Burns quilts are right now. And yeah, and you can go onto their site and see an interview with Ken Burns as he's walking and talking about the quilts that are in the exhibit. But Maren is great. I had seen her speak before. She is very, did her, I think her PhD dissertation was on this, but I saw her speak. The first time I ever connected with the Quilt Alliance was at the Sacred Threads not Fade Away weekend that was up in DC. So this was summer of 2015, and it wasn't quite on a whim, but I was really interested in Quilt Alliance. I had stumbled across it and thought, this seems interesting to me. And so I just, you know, talked to the man, like, what do you think about me going up there? He's like, yeah, do it. So I did. And in fact, the man and Will came. I think Jack was at camp. And we all went up, and the man and Will went to a baseball game, but I spent the weekend and Maren spoke there. And I want to say that the quilt she talked about that is called the 100 Good Wishes Quilts. So what this is American quilt makers adopting children from China, which has slowed down considerably in recent years. But there was a period of time, particularly in the, you know, late 20th, early 21st century, where a lot of people were adopting children, primarily girls, out of China. Well, there's a Chinese custom of gathering, I guess fabric, gathering, I'm not sure if they do quilts, but gathering important things for the babies when they adopt a baby in China. I think it's when they adopt a baby, but maybe it's when they have a baby. I'm not doing a good job. I will link, because I think there's a paper available online if you want to know about what Mom was doing. But anyway, the idea that you get all these things, gather all these things for your baby from loved ones, family, fellow villagers, to kind of welcome the baby into the village, into the family. So what some genius American quilt maker thought, I want to do that, but I'll do fabric and from friends and family, and put it into a quilt for the baby. So now this is a thing, or I'm assuming people still do it, but again, the adoption rates have slowed quite a bit. But people were doing these quilts. They were adopting, and it was something from China. And making the quilts was, one, a way to kind of pass the time, because those adoptions could take a really long time to go through. But collecting fabric with some meaning from people, friends, and family who would mean something to this baby as a way of welcoming the baby into the community, which I just think is really cool. And I know I've butchered it trying to talk about it. I'll find a link, so if you're interested, you can look it up. But I just thought that was neat. Anyway, and that's what she spoke on at this conference 3 years ago. So I interviewed her on Friday, and it was a really fun talk, really interesting. And she told me about a book that I have to read. We'll see. If I don't go out to lunch for the next couple weeks, I could use my lunch money to buy it. But it's by someone named David Gauntlet, and I think it's called Making and Connecting. But the whole, because what one of the things that Maren and I were talking about is the meaning of quilts. Why do people, even people who don't make quilts, people who don't have quilts in their lives, still, why do people respond so strongly to quilts? And you know, and Maren mentioned this book and said that it's really influenced her way of thinking about that. That when we make things, that one of the reasons we make things is to connect with other people. But there is a connection. It's almost like the quilt or the made object is a conduit between two people, the person who's made it and the person who's using it or viewing it or what have you. So I'm going to read this book, and then I'll talk to you about it in my kind of disjointed way of talking about things. I'm looking forward to that. So that was an interesting discussion, but that is something that I've just been thinking about a lot. You know, why is that? Why do people stream into museums in the early 21st century to see the G's Bend quilts? People had nothing to do with quilting. People didn't have quilts. People didn't make quilts, but people wanted to go see these quilts. You know, why do people respond so strongly to quilts? So that's what I'm thinking about. If you have ideas about this, you could let me know. All right, so I need to get ready to go to my meeting, and I finally finished sewing my name tag. I'm actually going to wear a name badge on a lanyard around my neck. I'm going to do it. See, I'm conforming. I'm part of the group. I'm in the sorority doing what you're supposed to do. And so this week coming up, I'm going to be doing a lot of writing, and I'm going to finish binding, sweep exit. I'm going to finish quilting, melon patch. You know, I have run out again of the American Made brand black fabric. I had to order a bit more. I think I'm going to have to order and try some Kona Jet Black, which someone told me about a couple weeks ago or a month ago now, because I think it was at my last guild meeting, which was a sew-in, because the American-made black, it's getting harder to track down. So, but I ordered some more. My thought was for the melon patch, I was going to do the binding and cheddar, but I think I'd rather, I may do facing, because I'm kind of digging the facing. I just feel like the cheddar binding, it's just what I had. I ran out of black, so I thought, well, I'll do cheddar. I just don't know about that. I think it's, I don't think that's going to work for me. So, which I decided, of course, after I went ahead and made the cheddar binding. But you know what? I can use that cheddar binding for something else. So those are what I'm doing. And then I guess the plan is then to quilt the modern Stars Upon Stars and then think about what's next. And I have some other Stars Upon Stars quilts from the book. I kind of need to do a double wedding ring. I don't know if that's going to happen before the book comes out, but there is work being done on a double wedding ring quilt. And so we'll see. We'll see how that works out. But forward, onward. If I have one last thing to say to you, I'll say it before we finish up the episode. But for now, I need to get ready to go. So I'll talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Monday, April 16th. Happy day after taxes day. Aren't we all glad to have that over with? I say this as though I were someone who dealt with taxes. No one in their right mind would let me deal with taxes. You should just keep me away from numbers and money and, yeah, altogether. Anyway, I'm out here on the porch with Travis the Quilt Dog. He is recently back from the groomer. Looks fabulous. Smells even better, although he looks a little French, you know? It's like, so he's a cockapoo. He's half poodle. And when he gets to the end of his fur cycle, he doesn't have fur, he has hair. So basically, 8 weeks after his last grooming, he's very, very fuzzy and looks more like a sheepdog than a poodle. So then you take him to the groomer and he comes back and he looks like he should be called Fifi. Yeah, now he's giving me a look like, what? What? I'm a very masculine, very manly kind of dog. It's so true, he is. Anyway, we're out here. There's a little bit of bird activity. Not much. It's, you know, if it were summer, we'd hear a lot of bugs, a lot of whirring of wings. And if it were morning, we would hear the birds singing. But I tried recording this on Saturday morning, and there's just enough pollen around that my voice kept getting really froggy, and I had to keep stopping so I could cough. And, you know, I just thought, why put anyone through that, including myself? So I'm back trying to finish this up. And let me tell you what I have to say. What have I finished up? Oh, Trav. No barking. Yes. I think he sees our neighbor, Miss Janet, who's moving. Ah, the loss of a good neighbor. It's a very hard thing to bear. Anyway, finished sweep exit. Got the binding or the facing all the way attached. So I have a little bit of repair work to do on some of the quilting. Just a couple places where the thread got broken. Or the stitches are broken. So I don't feel like that's 100% in the finished win box, but it's pretty close. I have worked this past week on two things, which were not the two things I said that I was going to do. The thing I wanted to finish, that I need to finish, is Melon Patch, finish that quilting, and I need to start the quilting on Stars Upon Stars. So of course I touched neither. Instead, I made a quilt top for a charity quilt. As it turns out, my guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, does have a charity program, and I'm excited about it because the quilts are given to foster care kids here in Durham. Although my guild covers a lot of territory beyond Durham, that's where our quilts are going, which makes me happy because I'm in Durham. And that's been something I've been thinking about, wanting to do some more charity quilts. And I had a lot of blocks in a drawer that I had made a couple years ago. In fact, hand-stitched them, which means that I had to do some reinforcing last week because I don't really trust my hand-stitching to hold up for more than a couple washes. So I put that together. I have a picture. I think I'm going to put a border on it and just do some very simple quilting on it. To get the job done. Probably one of my favorite simple quilting patterns, which is just the serpentine line diagonally, you know, an inch and a half apart until the whole thing is done. So I'm excited about that. I feel it's a cute quilt. It's just a patchwork quilt, but I like just patchwork quilts, quite frankly. The other thing I did was take the block I made for our guild challenge. So what our guild is doing this year is every month there's a block challenge. And, you know, I'm trying to be good about participating because, you know, I am vice president. But me being me, I got it wrong in my head. So we were supposed to deconstruct a traditional block and thereby make it modern. I modernized traditional block and thereby made it modern. But I like the block. It's Fox and Geese. I made it modern, took it to Guild, said, sorry, did this wrong, but this is why I love my Guild. Nobody cared. And I brought it home and I decided this would be a good wall hanging. I've been looking for something for the bottom of the staircase in my house, and it's a little bit of a narrow space, so I keep making quilts thinking, oh, I bet this quilt will go there, like a wing, and which is a pretty skinny quilt. Doesn't go there, doesn't fit. So I expanded Box and Geese, put an inner border and an outer border, and it fits just right. It works. And I'm pleased with the quilting, which I kind of made up on the spot. That's not really original to me, but I was looking at it, and you know, right now I'm just total straight line quilting girl. I like the straight lines, as Jackie Gearing has shown us. Straight line quilting with your walking foot there's so many things you can do. And so what I did is I started out with a 4-inch square rule and set it in the middle of the quilt, but offset it and kind of put it at an angle, marked the lines, and from that point marked lines about an inch out. And then I quilted that, and then I did it again, but again sort of at an angle. And I don't know, this is a very small quilt. It's like, I think, let's call it 26 by 26 square. And I think it probably 5 squares kind of overlapping all in all. And I like it. You know, it's you know, being me, it's imperfect. And, you know, I'm not interested in revising it. I felt like, yeah, probably if I did it again, I might play some of the squares slightly at slightly different places, but it's fine, and I enjoy doing it, and I think it's kind of cool looking. So two finishes, or at least one finish, and then just doing the charity quilt top. So next up, yes, quilting Melon Patch, and I have a quilt. I have my list now of quilts that I want to do for Stars Upon Stars, which is going to come out this summer in mid-July. And I'm going down to Atlanta, as I do when these books come out, and going to, I think it's the East Cobb Quilt Guild. It's whatever, it's Pam. Pam's Guild from Hit to Be a Square. Pam sent me some stars. Oh my goodness. She sent me a tiny star block. It is the cutest and really, I mean, it's just so adorable. I mean, it's tiny. So it's not just, the block is tiny. It's made out of tiny, tiny pieces. It's the coolest thing in the world. And I want to steal it and just claim it as my own and just put it in the middle of a quilt. Nothing else, just that star. But it would then just kind of be Pam's quilt, and Pam might be totally cool with that. I don't know. I could just call it Pam's quilt. Anyway, I have quilts to do, including the Stars Upon Stars quilt with contribution blocks, with Twilter blocks, and then the first Stars Upon Stars, and then a traditional Stars Upon Stars, and I want to do a double wedding ring, which is something I've always wanted to do. And there is a double wedding ring quilt constructed in the process. In the construction of the story, there's a construction of a double wedding ring quilt. And I want to do it. I love double wedding rings, and I want to do a traditional one. I am working on this theory that when you're looking at the history of modern quilting and looking at its roots, that I think more than anything, modern quilting is a direct descendant, this may be nuts, from traditional quilting, 1930s traditional quilting, which we know from, you know, Denise Schmidt, who is one of the godmothers of the modern quilt movement. That's what she was doing. She was taking, you know, Single Girl, which is an iconic modern quilt, is a play on double wedding ring, right? Those were the quilts. Those traditional quilts were the ones that she was really in love with when she started designing quilts.
And this is a newly hatched theory of mine, but partly came from looking at a book I picked up when I was in Knoxville. When was I in Knoxville? I guess it's almost been 2 weeks. Man, April is just, phew, it's just moving right on past me. But so I went to the Knoxville Quilt Guild, the Smoky Mountain Guild. I think I talked about it in the last Quilt Diary. It was fabulous, so fun. And they had a giveaway table. And I went over and was looking at stuff. And there was basically the show book, I don't know what you would call it, but I guess sort of from Paducah 2013. So it is 5 years old, but these are all the winning quilts. And I picked it up because I thought it would be interesting to look at. And it has been interesting to look at, but I noticed the same thing I've noticed when I've gone to big quilt shows. And I think at this point I've been to two really big ones. One was in Cincinnati. My mom and I went. And, you know, I don't know, whoever those companies are, what there's, you know, there's the big company that does the big shows. And my mom and I went a few years ago to one of those shows in Cincinnati. And then also there was the Hampton Roads show, the Mid-Atlantic quilt show that I went 2 years ago, where it was fun. It was sort of an initial meetup of many of the quilting podcasters, the old school, Pam and Tanisha and Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us. And who else? Well, I was there. Other people were there. Laura White, who's I feel like I made friends with, who listen, you know, so listeners like Laura, who are part of that community. It was really fun. But anyway, so both of these were really big shows. And I remember just going, how interesting that so many of the quilts in the show, in these shows, are art quilts, essentially. Beautiful, beautiful art quilts, but art quilts. And very few traditional quilts. And I remember talking about this a long time ago and Noni commenting that, yeah, to see traditional quilts, you really have to go to smaller, more local shows. And I'm thinking about the Capital Quilter show that I went to a few weeks ago. My guild had a table out. I don't know. I didn't take notes looking around. I think there were a lot of quilts that I would call contemporary traditional, which are using traditional tropes, like sashing, blocks, sashing, what have you, but putting a contemporary spin, using contemporary and modern fabrics, etc. And I'm trying to think if I saw a lot of quilts that I would call traditional quilts. And I'm not sure that I did, but I can't say for sure. So, but I'm looking at all these traditional quilts right now for myself and looking at these quilt history books. And, you know, even with traditional quilt patterns and quilt blocks from 100 years ago, 150 years ago, people did variations all the time. Creative people have always put their own spin on things. But I'm looking at those quilts, and then I'm looking at the quilts in this Paducah book, which are like similar to quilts that I have seen in the big shows that trend much more to art quilt, or also, of course, and also what I would call just the show quilt. You know, these people who do one quilt a year for the big shows, to enter into the big shows, and they're amazing. Lots of applique, lots of tiny intricate pieces. They're beautiful quilts. They don't interest me as a quilt to make. I don't have the skills. Let's not kid ourselves, but also just kind of aesthetically not my thing, though wildly impressive. You know, they are, I think as Daisy put it at one point, you know, these are our Olympians, right? Are these quilters. And so when I look at modern quilts, which design-wise, you know, are in some way are just graphically, I don't know, I was about to say simpler, and I don't think that's quite right. But there's an emphasis on very clean graphic design, which I actually think you see in old traditional quilts as well. So I'm working on this idea, and we'll see where I get with it. But Double Wedding Ring, I think that's how I got to this point in our conversation. I want to make one, and here's something interesting. I meet with my writing group, with my girls, the writing group I teach on Saturdays. We have started meeting at the Chapel Hill Public Library, and this past Saturday, it was the big book sale. And as you can imagine, Chapel Hill, big university town, lots and lots of book people, and lots and lots of books. Now, I went after we had finished workshop, and to be honest, at that point, I was kind of hungry. It was late in the afternoon, I was a little bit hungry, so which was probably good because I knew I only had so much energy for looking at hundreds and hundreds of books. So, of course, I looked in the quilt books first. And I found a book. It was published in 1990, and the author and designer is a man who made quilts with his wife. And I'll look it up. I don't have it on me right now, but it was about double wedding ring quilts. And it's funny because I flipped through it and saw all these beautiful pictures of double wedding ring quilts that I thought were antique. And I bought the book. It cost a dollar. And when I got home, I realized they were all quilts that he and his wife had made, and they were just gorgeous double wedding ring quilts with all kinds of different styles and fabric choices. But it's great because it has everything I need. I mean, it's just, it has a particular technique that looks interesting to me. It has all, like, if you want your blocks to be this size, this is what you do. And so it's got all the instructions, all the everything. It just felt serendipitous, quite frankly. So I'm excited about that. So I have my list of quilts, and I'm moving forward with them. But I have to remind myself that does include quilting them, which sometimes for me, as you know, is a heartache and a heartbreak because I have all kinds of big ideas, and they never quite pan out as I planned. Other things I want to tell you. I have finished two books recently. One is Manhattan Beach by Jennifer Egan. Read it for book club. I really liked it. My book club was kind of divided on it. It takes place in, I want to say, the 1940s, World War II era America. I thought it was fascinating, and I was interested in the characters. Also had a very fast-moving plot, so it was like 400-plus pages long, but I read it pretty quickly. With ease, you know, some of the people in my book club felt a little emotionally distant from the books. They didn't really get connect with any of the characters. So take that for what it's worth. It was like a big book of 2017, lots and lots of love, end of the year, best of list, etc. And I just finished a book called The Driest Season, and the author's name is Megan. Isn't that sad? I will link to it in the show notes. And it's a very quiet book. It is where Manhattan Beach was lots and lots of plot. This is a very little plot, but a beautiful writing. And the main character is a 15-year-old girl. And it takes place in the 1950s, I think, in Wisconsin. And it takes place really over a very short period of time. Like, I feel like just the course of a summer. And beautiful writing, very quiet. I liked it a lot. There's a dark subject matter. It's not a dark book, but essentially the girl's father, who's a farmer and has migraine headaches, kills himself. And you find that out on the first page. This is not a big spoiler. I think you also find it on the book flap. And she finds him in the barn. And it's just kind of dealing with the ramifications of that, the shock of that, the loss of that, etc. And I thought it was beautiful. I checked Amazon. There are not a ton of reviews. I learned about it from the New York Times Book Review. It got a really solid, positive review. It's not a very long book. And a lot of people, the reviews it had most were positive. And even the not positive reviews were still 3 stars, kind of an acknowledgement of the quality of the book, but I think there were people who felt, it doesn't have that much plot. So if you're a real plot person, it's going to feel slow and tedious, but I loved it. Or I really liked it a lot. Love may be strong, but I'm glad I read it. I really appreciated it. So I just thought I would share those things. And I'm sorry, Megan's last name is just not popping up for me. Written by Megan. So I think that's what I have to tell you for now. I do want to thank everybody who commented on my last episode.
Thanks to Noni, who commented about my whole quilting diva rock star thing, because I complained about that a little bit. And what Noni said, and I totally get this, she said, "I follow divas and regular quilters, newbies and advanced quilters. No discrimination with me. I just love Quilty Talk." And that I totally get and agree with. Heard from Andra. Who is Andra? And I knew she was Andra, but do you have this? Like, you know somebody's name, you know how to say it, but in the last second, you doubt that you do. Or you know what it is, except the last second, you think, I might be wrong. That might not be her name. Andra. Heard from Tori. Yay, I hadn't heard from Tori in a while. And I mentioned in the last episode about my love for the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. It was the little team that upset Virginia in the NCAAs. And it is a team. It is a school, but that is known for academic excellence and not really particularly producing great basketball teams, but it did. And it turns out that Tori's son, Eric, goes there. And I don't think I knew that, but that's exciting to me because I've met Eric and he is lovely and Tori's lovely. Tori, tell your whole family I say hey. Heard from Colleen, gave me great advice. Batting tape. So you have batting, big pieces of batting sitting around, but not quite big enough for your project. There's the stuff, it's called Marty Michelle brand. And that's what I got. And it costs like $8. It's a pretty big roll. And it's just, it's like fusing tape, right? And you even out your edges on your batting, join it together, tape down the tape on the seams, and put an ironing cloth over it and use a little steam. Shoop. And it just comes together beautifully. So thank you. I used that, Colleen, for my wall, for the fox and geese wall hanging. And it worked wonderfully. So yay. And it's true. And what Colleen says is once you quilt the quilt, you can't tell it's there. Absolutely true. Heard from Glenna, who is grateful for both of her quilt guilds. And she says one of our members makes more dolls than quilts. And we love her stuff. Yeah, I love a generous group. Heard from Sandy, talking a little bit about stashes, and she wrote, "I do try to have a good stash, but I equally try to have a smart stash with a usable mix of fabrics, not just all the pretty prints. That means when I have an impulse to make a project, I can work from stash without having to run out to a fabric store or risk bad color matches by buying online." And I think that is very wise. Thank you to everyone who commented. I really appreciate it. Thank you to those of you who commented in your head. I appreciate that too, but I can't thank you by name. So if you comment on the podcast website, say I can actually say your name out loud. And yeah, and that feels good, I think. I think it does. I think that's it for now. And I am off to Louisville, Kentucky next week. That is where my parents are. My main reason for going is to visit with my parents before they move into the retirement community. I'll still visit them there as well, but there just seems something about going back to their old house. It's a house I never lived in, but they've lived in for a long, long time. But to go hang out before the big move, and my mom and I are going to go to her guild meeting Monday morning, a week from now, and then on Tuesday morning, I am going to do a trunk show at the Cozy Quilter in Louisville. So if you're around Louisville, I think it's at 11 a.m., you may have to reserve a space. I am not sure, but if I think about it, I will put a link in the show notes just in case that's where you are. But I look forward to that. So I will have lots to talk about, I'm sure, when I get back. And then a week from Friday, I'm going to my first Quilt Alliance board meeting. And I'm excited about that and getting more involved with the Quilt Alliance. So I hope you are enjoying the spring so far. I hope you've had a little bit of spring. It's been a long winter. Not that I complain about the weather. That's what I was listening to. Hobbies Up to Here, and they were the wonderful mother-daughter podcast, and I was listening, and they were talking about the weather, and they said, and I think it was Dory said something, "We sound like Francis. We don't complain about the weather." It's like, no, we just, and my feeling is, no, we don't complain about the weather. We just comment upon it from time to time, and some of us would wish We wish that the cold, rainy, snowy weather would go away and we would have 90 days of spring, which I guess would put us into July, and then it could be 80. Yeah, that's not how it works here in North Carolina. But anyway, I hope you're getting some spring weather. I hope you're making some good quilts. Leave a comment if the spirit moves you, and I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.